This will be very high on the agenda and further evidence for the need for China to do all it possibly can.
Washington again seeks greater Chinese help with North Korea. It's Wednesday, June 21st. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online as well at VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, details on former North Korean detainee Otto Warmbier. Asia grapples with a growing drug problem. Cybersecurity issues in Australia, benefits from artificial intelligence and augmented reality. It all starts now on VOA Asia. As the United States prepares to host two senior Chinese officials Wednesday, what to do about North Korea looms large. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and his defense colleague Jim Mattis will meet with Chinese State Counselor Yang Jiechi and the chief of the Chinese Army Staff, General Feng Fenghui, for a bilateral diplomatic and security dialogue. Susan Thornton, acting Assistant Secretary of State for East Asian and Pacific Affairs, told reporters on Monday North Korea will be a top priority.
The United States remains committed to holding North Korea accountable for its flagrant and repeated disregard for multiple UN Security Council resolutions, which expressly prohibit its ballistic missile and nuclear programs.
She urged Beijing to use what she called its unique leverage as North Korea's primary trading partner by implementing all UN Security Council sanctions. The Chinese state-run Global Times, however, said resolving the North Korea matter will take coordination between China and the United States. It called, quote, an illusion, the idea China can solve the issue on its own. On Monday, a 22-year-old American student, Otto Warmbier, who was sentenced to 15 years hard labor last year for trying to steal a propaganda banner from a North Korea hotel, died at a Cincinnati, Ohio hospital after being medically evacuated from detention in a coma last week. President Donald Trump offered his condolences.
He spent a year and a half in North Korea. A lot of bad things happened, but at least we got him home to be with his parents, where they were so happy to see him, even though he was in very tough condition, but he just passed away a little while ago. It's a brutal regime, and we'll be able to handle it.
Three Korean Americans remain in detention in North Korea. Stephen Norper, a senior director of the New York-based Korea Society and a Columbia University professor, wrote he has never felt such despair in 30 years of watching the North as he has upon the learning of passing of Warmbier. He tells VOA's Victor Beatty Warmbier was brutalized and terrorized and allowed to return to the United States in a vegetative state, and that's beyond comprehension.
There will be demands from Congress for accountability. There will be demands among the general public. And certainly there is a sentiment across the government of great sadness at this tragedy, statements of condolence from Secretary of State Rex Tillerson as well. Their first priority will be to try to get remaining three Americans who are detained free, and we'll soon be on that. The United States is also meeting with China this week in Washington, and certainly this will be very high on the agenda and further evidence for the need for China to do all it possibly can to rein in the North.
How serious is the plight of the three Americans that are still in, and they're Korean Americans, I believe, all in North Korea?
Well, their plight is dire, and especially in light of what's happened now to Otto Warmbier. It's a great tragedy that they are detained. They're essentially being used as human shields for supposed fear of U.S. retaliation. And there are reports that because they are Korean American, they actually tend to be treated worse than other detainees at times. Certainly, we had concerns earlier with Kenneth Bay, who was Korean American, detained and eventually made his way back to the Seattle area. But trying to see the release of these three Americans is really of the utmost importance.
Earlier this year, the president indicated that he might be willing to meet North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Is that pretty much scotched now?
It seems that would be a tremendous challenge. Certainly, it wouldn't be politically palatable given this sort of gross incident and the loss of life. when you combine not only the vicious treatment of Otto Warmbier in detention, the detention of the other three Americans, the broader human rights concern with 130,000 plus North Koreans living in labor camp conditions, essentially the gulag, and then when you couple that with the missile and the nuclear threats from North Korea, you have just the world's ultimate security challenge and really a tremendous, tremendous challenge for the administration to deal with.
Meanwhile, the China-based Young Pioneers Tour said it would stop taking Americans to North Korea following the Warmbier death. In a Facebook post, the agency, which arranged Warmbier's fateful trip, said the risk has become too high. Stay with VOA Asia, as in a moment we hear more on Otto Warmbier's story and another American who had a different outcome from a visit to North Korea. These are among some of the top Asia stories that are trending on voanews.com. Warmbier's death puts focus on North Korean human rights violations. As South Korea seeks reconciliation with the North, what's in it for the United States? U.S. urges bigger Chinese role to combat global terrorism. Australia moves to protect classified documents from cyber espionage. Learning Chinese, trending in Pakistan amid deepening ties with China. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories, and there's a whole lot more if you just visit our Facebook page at VOA Asia, and you can also check out our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The images of Otto Warmbier making a tearful confession have been seen often on television during his nearly year-and-a-half ordeal in North Korea after he tried to steal a propaganda banner while on a tour of the secretive country. In the winter of 2016, as news spread of Warmbier's detention, another American living nearby in Ohio watched news reports intently as the incident unfolded. VOA's Kane Faribault shares with us the story of two Americans detained in North Korea, which began under similar circumstances, but had vastly different outcomes.
Jeffrey Fowle has more in common with Otto Warmbier than just the state of Ohio, a place they both called home.
I was surprised that there was somebody getting caught up in the system again already.
The system was North Korea, where in 2014, Fowle was on a tour sanctioned by the reclusive communist government, similar to the one Warmbier joined in 2016.
The North Koreans lure Americans to travel to North Korea via tour groups run out of China who advertise slick ads on the internet proclaiming no American ever gets detained off of our tours and this is a safe place to go.
Despite that advertising and North Korea's history of detaining Americans, Fowle was not concerned.
But I like visiting the out-of-the-way places.
An out-of-the-way place on Fowle's itinerary was the northern port city of Chongjin, where he left a Korean English Bible in the bathroom of a nightclub, knowing it would be frowned on by the North Korean government.
Jesus says to take the gospel into all corners of the world, and I was trying to do my small part, take one Bible to some small corner of the world.
Like Warmbier, Fowle was stopped at the airport on his way out of the country. He was first held at a hotel, then at a North Korean guest house where he was isolated but not mistreated while authorities interrogated him about his Bible.
It was mentally and emotionally straining. It wasn't physically abusive at all.
While in detention, Fowle says his limited appearances with the media were orchestrated.
That was pretty tightly controlled and I was coached, given guidelines on what to say.
Sweden helped negotiate Fowle's release in October 2014. After spending 6 months in North Korea. He says the episode brought his family closer together.
People have asked me if I could snap my fingers and go back and erase that whole incident, would I do it? At this point, I would say no.
But with Otto Warmbier now dead after suffering severe brain damage while in detention in North Korea, Fowle says Americans should think twice about traveling there.
Not in today's current political climate. I'd say up and down, I don't recommend it to anybody right now.
Fowle lives about 80 kilometers from the Warmbier family. While they have not met, Fowle continues to pray for the Warmbiers and the three Americans still detained in North Korea. Kane Faribault, VOA News, Miamisburg, Ohio.
We invite you to see the video with this story on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. Happening now in Asia, a new report shows ASEAN is the world's fastest growing internet market, with nearly 4 million Southeast Asians coming online every month. The report projects that by 2020, up to 480 million Southeast Asians will go online, compared to 260 million in 2016. It's driven largely by the adoption of smartphones. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. The United Nations says it sees an escalation in the production and use of amphetamines and synthetic drugs as a new threat for communities in Asia. In northern Thailand's Chiang Rai province, the weekend seizure of almost 2 million methamphetamine pills came as traffickers attempted to breach a police checkpoint. One trafficker was shot dead as a combined force of soldiers and police confronted the traffickers near the infamous Golden Triangle region of Thailand, Laos, and Myanmar. News of such large seizures of methamphetamines and potent synthetic drugs and heroin come with increasing frequency, even for a region long known as the front line of drug trafficking. A recent assessment by the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime highlighted a massive escalation in methamphetamine production and seizure rates. A total of 287 million methamphetamine tablets were seized in East and Southeast Asia in 2015, a more than twofold increase compared to 2011, according to the UN report. But synthetic drugs, also known as new psychoactive substances, are also evident and a major contributor to a drug overdose epidemic. Inchik Sim, a UNODC information analyst in Thailand, said the trends towards synthetic drugs are alarming.
If you compare the seizures of drug types between the opiates and synthetic drugs, basically methamphetamine, seizures of this methamphetamine increased like nearly sevenfold over the last decade, while these seizures of heroin are relatively stable.
Cambodia, China, the Philippines, Singapore, and Vietnam all reported increases in use and trafficking of crystalline methamphetamine, a liquid form of the drug that's injected. The production and trafficking of methamphetamine and heroin within and from the region generates an estimated $40 billion annually. Methamphetamine, known in Thai as ya ba, has long been a staple in the illegal drugs trade. The new threats in synthetic drugs include fentanyl, which the U.S. National Institute on Drug Abuse says is between 50 and 100 times more potent than opioids such as morphine. From clandestine laboratories in Asia, synthetic drugs reach markets as far away as North America, where the United States is witnessing up to 60,000 deaths a year from opioid drug overdoses. Inchik Sim says increases in methamphetamine have also raised concerns in China, Singapore, and Malaysia.
So overall, at the regional level, now we can say that methamphetamine has become the primary drug of concern in the region.
In Thailand, up to 70% of all 300,000 prisoners in jail have been sentenced on drug-related charges, and Indonesia has declared a narcotics emergency. But civil society groups say there's a need for reform to combat drug use. They say existing programs of compulsory centers for drug users should be phased out towards comprehensive systems of voluntary community-based treatment and complementary health, harm reduction, and social support services. In Thailand's slum community of Klong Toei, Joe Meyer is a Catholic priest who runs charity projects in the area. He says there's been little government support to assist communities to provide alternatives against illicit drug use.
Government does not see athletics and sports programs and sports heroes as combating drugs. They never have put money into anything. So it's nothing new. I mean, they never have dumped huge amounts of money into sports.
An emerging middle class and rising incomes have also led to more consumers both in urban and non-urban regions, with consumption by men and women and not limited to the youth market. The UNODC said crime syndicates, including those in northeastern Myanmar and eastern China, as well as in Taiwan, play a significant role in methamphetamine manufacturing and trafficking in the region. Traffickers target high-income markets such as Japan, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. The United Nations has led calls for countries to take a more balanced response to drugs with a robust health pillar as a fundamental element of national policies. Southeast Asia, however, has been slow to adopt reforms and has doubled down on the so-called war on drugs. Our thanks to Ron Corbin in Bangkok for sending us this story. You're listening to VOA Asia.
News happens around the clock. And VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour.
This is Joe Palca.
I'm Victor Beatty.
Francis Alonso.
Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on The Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.
This news alert from VOA Asia. South Korean President Moon Jae-in issued a statement offering condolence and consolation to Otto Warmbier's family and also condemned North Korea for detaining foreign nationals without regard for human rights guaranteed under international law. There are 6 South Koreans currently imprisoned in the North. Visit VOA Asia Facebook for more. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Australia says it will move classified government information from a private data center in Sydney after a Chinese consortium bought a major stake in the company. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports the move comes despite assurances from the company, Global Switch, that its files are secure.
Global Switch owns 2 secure data facilities in downtown Sydney and stores classified Australian government defence and intelligence files. Its ownership changed in December, when its UK-based parent company accepted a $3 billion bid from Chinese investors for a 49% stake in the Sydney-based firm. Among the investors was an entrepreneur who owns part of China's leading data enterprise, Daily Tech. In response, Australian officials said they'd move classified files from the private storage facility to a state-run data unit when its current contract expires in 2020, despite a promise from Global Switch that its services are secure. Peter Jennings, the executive director of the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, a respected think tank, says the government in Canberra is right to be wary of China's cyber capabilities.
China is certainly up there with Russia and Iran and North Korea as being amongst the most active cyber espionage entities. It's looking to steal information. Increasingly, I think China is building a capability to actually go in and do damage to critical infrastructure through cyber means as well.
The government says Australia is increasingly a target for cyber crime and espionage, and has warned that cyberspace was under persistent threat. Earlier this year, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said cybersecurity was the new frontier of warfare and announced new measures to protect Australian democracy from foreign interference. Last October, Canberra revealed a foreign power had managed to install malicious software on the Australian Bureau of Meteorology's computer system to steal sensitive documents and compromise other government networks. Officials didn't identify the country suspected of the breach, but security analysts pointed the finger at China. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Developing at this hour in Asia, the Philippines, Malaysia, and Indonesia have begun joint patrols and information sharing to curb the influence of local Islamist terror groups. The trilateral naval patrols are in the first concrete sign of regional cooperation against ISIS-inspired terror groups operating in Southeast Asia. This story and more are on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, computers and machines are developing at such a fast pace, they're beginning to think for themselves to solve our problems. Doctors in particular are finding artificial intelligence to be a useful tool as computers increasingly use complex algorithms to help them diagnose disease. VOA's Kevin Enix tells us artificial intelligence can even help create new drugs.
This automated library is full of microscopic slides of human tissue called biopsies. There may be as many as 50 slides for every patient. Hi. Doctors used to spend a lot of time painstakingly going through each one, looking for signs of cancer. Now, however, computers at University Hospital Zurich are sifting through these images, getting correct results 99% of the time.
If I sit here 1.5 hours looking at slides, screening all these slides, instead of just signing out the 2 or 3 positive ones, and taking into account that there may be a 0.1 error rate, percent error rate, this will pay off because I can do in 1.5 hours at the end 5 patients.
It is just one of the ways that doctors are using artificial intelligence to help them do their work. Doctors at Britain's University of Sheffield have created an AI system they call Benevolent. The program is reading as much medical literature as it can. Then it is learning from all that reading and coming up with potential new drugs.
So they can interrogate that information using artificial intelligence to come up with ideas for new drugs that might be used, say, for example, in a completely different disease, but may be applicable in motor neuron disease. So that's the real benefit of their system, is the kind of novel ideas that they come up with.
The team has already come up with one new drug that may help patients, and the Benevolent team is hoping to expand the use of its AI system. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
Augmented reality is slowly entering everyday life, and Swiss researchers say it can be used to study children's behavior. VOA's George Pudich reports there's a new app for tablet computers that helps them study whether playing computer games can lead to something called augmented creativity.
Augmented reality, or AR for short, is created by insertion of computer-generated images into a person's vision field. Researchers at the Game Technology Center in Zurich, Switzerland, created an app for tablet computers that can help children give life to their coloring book characters.
You can just color any figure you like in a traditional way with color, but then looking at our app, this figure comes to life. And the color is transferred to the 3D model in real time.
But their real goal was to create a tool for studying human behavior and our interaction with new technologies. Several years ago, the public largely rejected the much-hyped AR device called Google Glass for a number of reasons, including concerns about privacy. But many professions saw its potential in providing the user with instant valuable information. Doctors wearing such glasses during surgeries can instantly get data about the patient. Assembly plant workers can call up manuals without stopping their work. Swiss researchers say augmented reality can be transformed into augmented creativity. There's even a way to create a virtual band.
One of our focuses is on augmented creativity, which is the concept of using augmented reality to enhance creative play. This is a topic we're pushing on the research avenue, but I really believe in the wider scope, augmented reality is going to touch nearly every business worldwide.
Designers say making it possible to give life to characters drawn on paper may prompt children's imagination to come up with more complex characters and situations.
We're using augmented reality to enhance creative activities. That fits into our wider research mission, which is really about exploring game technology as a means to understand human behavior.
The possibility of using the app for manipulating any picture, such as an artistic portrait, can also help researchers study how children see the world around them. George Pudich, VOA News, Washington.
We're pretty sure your computers have helped aid you to our program, and we thank you so much for joining us today. You can get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud and download it. Take it as a podcast if you like. We also like to say hello to all of our friends in Myanmar who've been listening via Facebook on VOA Burmese. Thanks for joining us today. Our thanks, too, to Director Tracy Carter, Engineer Jim Harmon, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ali Ogden and David Bird, part of our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a great day.